Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are, whatever time it is, I'm so glad that I have this opportunity to share with you some moments here at Selah. Today I want to speak to you about a topic. It's a phrase that is significant to me. It's called, "But God." But before I get into it, I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, only four verses, and then I will share with you what's on my heart. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it goes like this. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversions in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires but the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." But God. You know, when I look back at life and the ups and the downs and the challenges that I faced, the mountains and the giants, there are times in my life where I knew that if it wasn't for God, I there's no way I could make it. Have you ever had those seasons in your life where you felt like your mind was going to explode, your eyeballs were going to just burst? It felt so dark and so cold and so challenging, whatever it was, whether it was with your parents or with your significant other, your children, your job, your career. It just feels like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose myself. The Bible is full of those "but God" moments, specifically in reference to God and his mercy. You see, in Ephesians 2, it describes the deplorable conditions of those who were unsaved, those who never knew God as the Lord and personal Savior. And it reminds us that the sinners, we all are sinners, from the pulpit to the pew, we all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. But when we are in our sin, we're dead because of the trespasses that we have done and the sins that we commit. And Satan and the world system, it keeps us in a constant state of deception. We can't even see it. We don't even realize how dark we are, how dirty we are. I mean, we may feel the pressure. We may understand the stresses, but our minds and our hearts can't really conceive where we are precisely and how bad things really, really are. We become dead. We become deceived. We become deplore. We become doomed. Sinners that are in need in what is called a divine intervention. And to me, that's where the "but God" phrase is so significant and where it comes from. It's like when you just need help. And you know that no one on your Rolodex, no one in your phone, no contacts, all of your thousands of friends on Facebook, so your hundreds of friends on LinkedIn, none of those people could help you. You need something supernatural. And you wonder, I wonder if God is going to help me. I know I never spoke to him. I know I don't go to church. I know that I haven't been faithful. I know that I've done all these things. But God, I need help. I need a touch from heaven. Now, God is not a genie in a bottle. He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. I say like this, God can do all things but fail. But I know something about him, and I want to share it with you, that he's merciful. And mercy is defined as, listen, when we do not receive something that we deserve. God helps us. He loves us. He redeems us. He saves us when what we really deserve is judgment and condemnation and destruction and hell. But specifically, the Bible is full of accounts of these divine intervention. And I'm just going to share a few with you that just, if you think about it, it's really messed up. One of it is one of those accounts. It's found in the book of Numbers 21. I will teach about it sometime down the road. But essentially, it's called Balaam and his talking donkey. And who Balaam was, he was a witch or a wizard. If he was around in the year 2000, he would be the star of the Harry Potter series. He was into dark magic. He was into curses for hire. He was an evil, evil man that had an authentic demonic ability to get things done supernaturally. And by definition, he was an enemy of God, and he was an enemy to Israel. And specifically in this account, Balaam was hired because he had a gift to have visions and to communicate with God. Lowercase g, and some would argue even the upper G, the real God. And his gift was he could prophesy, or he can see visions with his eyes wide open. So he would have this death zombie stare, get into a state, and then he would be able to communicate with the other world and give messages. And you can imagine anyone with such a gift became very popular. Well, he was hired to curse Israel because Israel's enemy didn't like Israel, the state, the nation of Israel. So what happened was he said, listen, I can't do anything unless God tells me to do it. And whatever God tells me to do, I'm compelled to do. Fair enough. They gave him money. And when he spoke to curse them, he actually spoke blessings. And this happened like seven or so times. But here's the thing that I found was interesting. Here's a man who's an enemy of Israel. He's a witch. The Bible says we got to kill witches. We got to kill warlocks. This is in the Old Testament. He was an enemy. But yet as he was walking to his meeting, riding on his donkey, what he didn't see that there was an angel with a sword that was going to kill him because he was in disobedience to God. And God did something amazing. God opened up the eyes of the donkey so the angel could see, the donkey could see the angel approaching. And then the donkey started to speak. He turns to his master Balaam and says, why are you beating me? Don't you understand? And I'm paraphrasing. Don't you understand? I just saved your life. There was an angel in front of you trying to cut your head. That is why I moved to the left and I moved to the right. Did you hear what I just said? A donkey spoke. Now, this is not in the voice of Eddie Murphy. This is actually a donkey who spoke in a man's voice to tell his master that I just saved your life because you were in disobedience. Why is that important? Listen, if God was able and willing to show mercy to an enemy of his people, how much more you and I? To me, that's a but God moment, if there ever was one. The Bible says it like this. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden? To this day, I have been in the habit of doing this. And he replied, no. The Lord opened Balaam's eye, and Balaam saw the angel standing in the road with his sword drawn, and he bowed low, and he fell on his face. God is able to intervene in your life to save you, to bless you, and my favorite, is to warn you. I believe one of the reasons why you're listening to Selah today isn't because you are tired or of hearing a preacher preach. In fact, you and I both know that we can turn on the television, we can listen to the radio, and you can find far more articulate men and women that can communicate the gospel. But for some reason, God led you here today, this afternoon, this morning, or this evening to hear this "but God" message. I believe in the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe in the entire Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's the inerrant Word of God. Genesis 1, verse 1, through and including to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And I believe that God can do all things but fail. I also believe that God wants to send you a message to let you know that, hey, trust me, I'm willing to help you. I can help you. Your darkest moments, the giants that are facing you, the things that people are saying about you that are true and they hurt, those self-inflicted wounds, God can help you. You need a "but God" moment. And I would encourage you to cry out to him and know and to believe in your heart that he will and he can help you. But let me say something about the way how God helps. Sometimes God does things that are so profound that we can't comprehend it. We get the results that we were asking for, but the method that we were expecting, he didn't use. And it throws us for a curveball. Should I laugh or should I cry? Should I be pleased? Should I be thankful? Or should I be concerned? One of those ways is in the Bible, there was a man who was blind who wanted to receive his sight. And Jesus said, I will heal you. So Jesus spat on the ground to the point where the dirt became clay in his hand. That's a lot of saliva. And then he took the saliva and he put it on the man's eyes. And then when the man wiped away the saliva mixed with clay, he was able to see. What do you see? I see men like trees walking. Did it again. Oh, I can see clearly. Now, I don't know how many of you would want your eyes to be your vision to be restored by someone spitting essentially in your face. But that's my point. When we cry out to God and we say, but God, we need you. We need an intervention. We should always know that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But he can be trusted. And if we will accept that he is God and he knows what to do and how to do whatever it is he is going to do, we will always be able to say, thank you. Thank you, God, for being faithful, for being true, for being just. He's a faithful God, and he's wonderful. In conclusion, I want to share this with you. God's intervention is precious. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Take a moment and think about what the Apostle Paul was saying. He mentions the fact that God is rich in mercy. And the word rich refers to an overabundance. It means without measure, unlimited love. And that's what God has for you. Hey, I want to thank you once again for joining me today at Selah. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.